What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
My question for you, Producer Jay, is can we continue to add Mike Tomlin quips, Mike Tomlin drops, as we are getting closer? Did you know we're within 100 days of the first NFL game? Or maybe it's the first preseason game. Either way, there's a countdown out there somewhere. And very soon, we'll have access to Mike Tomlin from training camp even. He didn't pee down his leg. Can we add more Mike Tomlin to that? And just at some point, it might be 10 minutes.
We can make that open 4 minutes, 5 minutes, as long as it needs to be.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Fantastic. Mike Tomlin always makes us smile. I hope it makes you smile on what is now a Tuesday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Up and at him. See, Mike Tomlin's raring to go already. I wonder if he wakes up laughing. Not during football season. Definitely not during football season. He is intense. And we've asked former Steelers, including Brian McFadden, who works for CBS Sports as an NFL analyst. And he says, yes, that is how Mike Tomlin is all the time. He laughs and he does enjoy his job, but he's locked in.
I just love Pat P.
We just love Mike T. We're asking you this fun question. And I think it's fun because we're getting so many cool responses. How old were you and what sports team at that time caused you to fall in love with watching sports? You don't have to have played sports to be a sports fan, but what age were you? How old were you? And what team hooked you? Hook, line, sinker, baby. And the thing about sports, if we're going to use the fishing analogy, it's not catch and release. No, once they've got you, you are hooked for life. That's it. You're like a dead fish. To follow that metaphor. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you're blowing it up on our Facebook page as well. We'll get to those after hours with Amy Lawrence. And as a side note, thank you so much for checking out my latest blog post. I put it out there on Monday morning, and it's been such a cool joy to share with you my latest bucket list adventure. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Dozens of photos from my own personal, well, I was going to say my personal camera, from my own personal stash on my cell phone, because my phone actually has a better camera than does my actual camera. It takes better pictures. And so it's been fun to share. It took me a while, but this is probably the most creative I've ever been with a blog post, because I was able to put collages together and really tell the story with the pictures. Something new for me. And I think I might continue to do it, actually, about some of my travels and adventures. I told Bob that and he said, cool. All right. So Bob doesn't mind being a guinea pig for some new blog posts. We're going to get back to your calls here. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line. And again, both Twitter, A-Law Radio, and Facebook. How old were you? What team sucked you into watching sports? Maybe it was hockey. Producer Jay says he was seven. We think he was seven-ish. So a first grader? Were you a first grader? Second grader?
Yeah, maybe second. Yeah, I have an early birthday, so.
Second grader went to a Rangers game with his dad. Was this at Madison Square Garden?
It was. Buffalo Sabres. We didn't have tickets, actually. We were just going there to buy them, and I'll never forget this. The second we walk into the garden, like the main concourse, some guy, businessman in a suit, he was running the other direction away from the gate. He goes, you guys need tickets? Here, I got two. Just gave them to us, and he ran. I don't know if his wife was having a baby. I don't know what was going on with that guy. I'll never forget it, though.
You got them for free?
Free. Just we were just going to go up to the gate and buy them, And this guy just full sprint, sweating. You guys need tickets? Here you go. Gave us two great tickets and then just never saw him again.
Amazing. That was your seven-year-old experience?
That was it. First game ever. First 5 minutes being at the Garden.
And now you have to pay thousands just to get into the Garden sometimes for these games.
That right.
That's pretty cool. All right, so we're getting lots of tweets, lots of Facebook messages. We're going to get right back to your calls. I promise here before this segment is done, we've actually had a run of great calls in the last week or so. I guess it's because the questions have been great. All right, I'll stop patting myself on the back for now. Just kidding, I don't normally do that. Speaking of patting them on the back, I'm not sure the Golden Knights need it, but boy, in the first period of Game 2, they picked up right where they left off after those three goals in the final period of the series opener against the Panthers.
Michael on it, trying to help it up the boards. Stevenson steers it across. Marchessault, and he shoots, he scores! Marchessault, power play goal! 1-0 Golden Knights into the corner. Taken at the goal line. Barbashev to the left. Martinez shoots. He scores! Alec Martinez. 2-0 Golden Knights. 2 minutes to go, first period.
Waugh run off by Verhaeghe into the left corner. Waugh walks out in front and scores! Nick Waugh!
3-0 Golden Knights, 3 minutes into the second period. First shot of the period, and the second goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs for Nicholas Waugh. Houdin coming to center, finds Stevenson into the zone with Stone. On the right wing, Stone, now down the middle, score! Houdin! Brett Houdin brings the crowd to its feet once again. 4-0 Knights. 13 minutes to play in the second period.
Dan Duva was busy on the Golden Knights radio network. Two goals in the first, two goals in the second, and then when the Panthers finally get on the board, three more in the third. Jonathan Marchessault, he's crushing it right now. 3 points, couple of goals for him. He now has 12 in these playoffs, and that's a franchise record for the Golden Knights because, you know, their franchise history goes way back. Those history books, they might fill up a loose-leaf notebook at this point, but okay.
He might have beat his own record, honestly.
Yeah. So after three goals in the third period of Game 1, they take that momentum and they move it forward, and so a big deal for them to start out hot. The crowd was into it. Really, the place was rocking there in Vegas. And they just never let up. They were relentless.
Just kind of sticking to it. You know, there's momentum swings in games, right? These guys are trying to, you know, jab at us, get us off our game. But, you know, with the leadership of the on the back end that we have, you know, we're rolling four lines deep and we're getting big saves from our goalies. We're just sticking to the course, playing our game, not getting frustrated with anything that they're doing.
Did somebody say goalies? We had a fun conversation with David Pagnotta, who joined us from Vegas. He's on SiriusXM NHL and also has The Fourth Period, a very popular video podcast. He was there for Game 2, and so we talked to him about the Golden Knights, but one thing that I asked him is, where the heck did Adin Hill come from? Do you know Adin Hill's never started more than 25 games in a season? He's got maybe eight years in his NHL career. Never started more than 25 games. He's been a perennial backup. He gets a shot here and there, but for the most part, he's the stay ready guy. Stay ready just in case we need you. Until now, he's taken over for the Golden Knights. He's been a revelation. 29 more saves from him in Game number 2.
He's stopping everything he's seeing, right? Which is great for us and great for him. You know, that's can be a real advantage. I mean, if you ask Florida, I didn't see every game of their previous series, but it sounds like their guy was playing unbelievable too, right? It can give your team a huge lift.
It's probably been the most fun I've ever had playing hockey. Just enjoying it, cherishing every day, and, you know, just kind of taking it one day at a time. And yeah, just kind of living in the moment, and it's been fun. It's been awesome to be a part of this journey with this team. The chanting from the crowd, like, you hear the noise, but you're not really kind of listening along. But, you know, it's been fun. I mean, getting that second win tonight is huge, and yeah, I'm just hoping we can keep that momentum going into Florida.
Before Adin, you hear Bruce Cassidy. He's stopping everything he sees. Well, that's an advantage. And that was the advantage for Sergei Bobrovsky and the Florida Panthers, but that has changed. He was pulled midway through the second period last night after the early onslaught by the Golden Knights, and now Paul Maurice has a decision to make. Will Sergei be in net for Game 3?
I don't know. I'll sweat about that one for the next 2 days. We can be a little better in front of our goaltender. He's been unbelievable for us, so I got him out to keep him rested.
So So he says he pulled him out so that he can remain rested and maybe get ready for game three. But something else that David Pignota said to me, which really caught my ear, I asked him to follow up on it. You'll have to get his answer on the podcast. He thinks the Florida Panthers look like a deer in the headlights. How is that possible? I get it. The Golden Knights have a ton of power. They have great speed. They actually don't. They don't get hit a lot, right? They try to avoid hits as much as possible. They don't get sucked into hitting back. So the Florida Panthers, that's part of their strategy to try to change the momentum and change the rhythm for their opponents. They're a very physical team. Which team were they playing? They were like killing each other. The Panthers, it wasn't the sweep. Who'd they play in the second round?
They played the Devils in the second round.
The Devils, that's right. They were hitting each other a ton. The Devils, really fast team. And then they swept. No, it was the
Lightning. They played the Bruins in the first round. Maple Leafs in the second round, okay. I believe. Right.
That was the series where they were killing each other, right? They were crushing each other. Yeah. So they like to be super physical. And it's not working against the Golden Knights because they try to avoid the hits. They don't mind. Are you checking now just to be sure? Producer Jay's doing some homework in there behind the double pane glass.
Always good to be sure.
It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, yeah, the hits, they're not even, certainly. And there are a lot of penalty minutes for the Florida Panthers. Not for the hit that you see late in the second period. If you haven't checked it out, definitely go look. Matthew Tkachuk, he drilled Jack Eichel. And in the moment, it looked scary because Eichel had lost his balance. So he'd lost the puck. He'd lost his balance. And as he's coming across the middle, he puts his head down and then he toe picks because he can kind of see Tkachuk coming toward him. So all of that, now he was able to wrench a little bit. So the majority of the hit was absorbed by his shoulder. But it looks scary because at first you see it at full speed and it's like, whoa. And so thankfully Jack Eichel was fine and Tkachuk was not in any way apologizing for the hit, though what ensued afterwards is a big brouhaha. Guys are punching each other. There are a couple of misconduct penalties and he ends up going off not just once, but twice, but for the 10 minutes after this particular fight, not the hit. The hit was beautiful.
I was a little bit surprised by it. I went to the bench getting ready for a power play, but I think one of those misconducts I deserve, but I don't know about the other one. But at the end of the day, it's they might have thought that game was a little bit out of reach maybe in the second period, but we certainly didn't. We've scored 7 goals in a period before, so never known playoffs.
Tkachuk is definitely getting his money's worth, and again, as I say, not apologetic on the hit, and Jack Eichel didn't ask him to be. I mean, he recognizes that he put himself in that position.
Like I just came off the bench and saw him middle of the ice with his head down, and doesn't matter who you are, you shouldn't be going through the middle with your head down, and you're going to get hit. Like, I mean, I would go get hit, too, if I had my head down in the middle. Like, it's nothing, not a big deal. Like, he's a really good player, and I mean, really good players can get hit, too. I just went to the bench just thinking, get some rest before a power play, but I was sent off.
Kind of toe-picked a little bit and, saw him at the last minute. He finishes a hard, what I saw was a clean check on me, and it's a physical game. You're going to get hit sometimes, so you just kind of move on,
How quickly did you know you're okay?
It was a physical, it was a big hit, but I came back in here, regrouped, and, it's fine.
He went directly to the trainer's room, I think because of his history with the neck, but was able to return third period at some point. Jay and I were on the same wavelength because Jay says in my ear as I'm thinking it, Tkachuk better watch out because if he dares to put his head down in game number 3, he may also find that there's a vicious check. Now, again, wasn't dirty. It didn't hurt Eichel, but Eichel... he left himself vulnerable, and Tkachuk took the opportunity. And he had a full head of steam coming off the bench, too, as he points out. So the game misconduct was for fighting, not for the hit. And they got another one later in the game. I don't know that Florida's coming apart at the seams, but they better regroup quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, how old were you? And what team sucked you into watching sports? We're getting great reaction on social. Let's take a phone call from Rodney, who's in Baltimore. Rodney, what and who and how old?
I think it was at the age of 10, and it was the greatest year
in the history of the Orioles because they obtained Frank Robinson.
Mm.
He won the Triple Crown. They won the MVP. And he also won the World Series. But I'm a Baltimore homer, so all the teams in Baltimore are my favorite. But it was actually the Orioles. And no one in baseball has done that since Frank Robinson. He's the only player in baseball that has won the MVP in both leagues.
Fantastic. And you were hooked for life then.
Oh, yeah. The Colts, the Bullets, the Clippers, it didn't matter. Anything in Baltimore, we were headed for championships, and we were always relevant and contenders.
And the Ravens or no?
Well, that was well before the Ravens.
Yes.
We still had the Colts then,
I mean,
but
now.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, good.
Definitely.
Just wanted to be sure you were able to transfer your loyalties.
Oh, yeah.
They All right, didn't, cool.
We couldn't keep the colors, but, you know, Baltimore is Baltimore. The Ravens are going to be right up there again this year.
Mm. Agreed. I love that the Lamar deal is behind them. I wish I had seen that historic season with the Orioles. I was not on the planet, but thank you for reliving it with us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right, Rodney, good to talk to you in Baltimore. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get one more in real quick, and then we will take our break and get to the others after. Will is in Pittsburgh. Will, what sucked you in? What age?
I was about when I was 9, Super Bowl 40. When we got that Super Bowl win for Jerome Bettis, I'd say that's what sucked me in.
The bus! Wait, it took the Super Bowl? It wasn't the run to the Super Bowl or the season itself?
It was pretty much the season itself, like the nail-biting of us almost not even making the playoffs
right.
in the last seed, coming back. And then also, I've never seen my dad so happy in his life. So I think that enthusiasm in itself was something that just made me fall in love with the game.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Super Bowl 40, Steelers over the Seahawks, 21-10. And you're right, it was the bus. It was the bus with some redemption, finally getting a ring.
Yeah, and then I ended up getting into college football because I was watching what I thought was the Steelers playing on a Saturday, but it was the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Wait, is that for real?
Yeah, honestly, oh. I was watching, I was like, is that the Steelers? And then, no, it was Iowa playing college game. I was so young at the time.
Oh, gotcha. Well, the black and gold definitely does resonate.
Oh. Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks so much for your phone call, Will.
No problem.
Have a great Tuesday. All right, 855-212-4227. And then on Twitter, After Hours, CBS Jays retweeting our Facebook page too. A lot of you go and you make a community out of it with our threads. How old were you and what team sucked you in to becoming an irrational, illogical, completely over-the-top sports fanatic? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning on a Tuesday from
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hit high and deep to right. Noda back onto the track. He'll make the catch. Plenty deep enough to score. Bay. Andrew McCutchen with the sack fly. And Kutch puts the Pirates ahead 5-4 here in the eighth. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. A perfect slider. Holderman with his first major league save. The Pirates are baseball's hottest team. They've won six in a row, and they hold on to beat the A's 5-4 here at PNC Park tonight.
It's June 5th, and we've put ourselves in a position because we bounced back after having a tough month, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of season left.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Derek Shelton. Get to know the name Derek Shelton for those of you outside of Pittsburgh, the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have, in fact, righted the ship. And I know they're playing the A's, but hey, all the wins count the same. They've won six in a row. Andrew McCutchen, kind of fun to see him back there. A tie-breaking sack fly in the eighth inning in Pittsburgh is able to extend the A's road losing streak to 15 in case you're keeping score at home. But more importantly for the Pirates, they are surging again. I know, and we've had a bunch of calls from Pittsburgh tonight. I know there were a lot of Pirates fans who thought, okay, it was fun while it lasted. A lot of Pirates fans who thought their early season surge was not going to last. And maybe it won't. There's still a long way to go. But they are still ahead. Well, they're back ahead, I should say, of the NL Central because of the six games in a row and seven of their last 10, and they've got the half game nose in front of the Milwaukee Brewers. That entire division separated by eight games. It's the St. Louis Cardinals that are in the bottom, which is not something we see very often. So kind of neat for the Pirates, and we love the fresh blood. Like the Arizona Diamondbacks are the leaders along with the Dodgers in the NL West. We talked about the Rangers earlier. My apologies to Pirates Radio. I actually think the Rangers are the hottest team in baseball, but that's okay. It's up for debate because it is, in fact, June. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I suppose if we're being technical, anything that's on a diamond, the hottest team that plays with a bat and a ball and a glove, is that wide enough? The hottest team that plays on a diamond is actually the Oklahoma Sooners softball team. For those of you who follow Women's College World Series and softball this time of the year, it's unique. There's nothing else like it. Florida State moves on to the final round, the championship round, against Oklahoma, who is trying to become the first since UCLA in the 80s to grab three straight national championships. Sooners are a dynasty. They've won four of the past six under Patty Gasso. They're a juggernaut. And if I remember correctly, they've won 51 games in a row. So they're 59-1 this season. That's obscene. Stop it. 59-1. What are you doing?
It's like not even fun.
It's like UConn women's basketball. Remember when people used to say that? It's not even fun. Well, that's where OU softball is right now. But one of the, and I know Patty Gasso personally, one of the things that makes her such a great coach is her expectations are sky high. Her expectations are sky high because she believes in the potential of her teams. She does not settle for anything less than their absolute best. Think Pat Summitt. That's Patty Gasso. And so they don't take anything for granted.
Clean game, exciting game, but a great pitching duel. And just, I think sometimes we win a lot, and that's fabulous. But sometimes I think we're so used to taking it for granted, and this means a lot. This means a lot to get to the championship game.
Oklahoma had to take out Stanford earlier on Monday and then waited to see that it would be Florida State in that final round. I love Patty. She's been there forever, and she has brought such incredible credibility and equity along with some of the other Oklahoma sports programs. Bob Stoops, he was there when I was there as the football coach. Sherry Cole, Kelvin Sampson was there as the men's basketball coach when I was there. Patty Gasso has outlasted them all. So she, with the softball team, looking for their third consecutive Women's College World Series title. So maybe that's the hottest team that plays on a diamond right now. All right, well, getting back to your calls here, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Brad, who's listening in Alabama. Brad, when did you fall in love with watching sports? How old were you?
I was about 10 years old, not quite 11, and I fell in love with sports when, in 1992, the Alabama Crimson Tide just beat Miami down after all the smack talking they had been doing. But we won that 12th national championship.
Nice. When was that?
My grandfather was a huge Alabama fan. And honestly, at that age, you know, Miami was attractive. It was all the flash and stuff, and I was like, I don't know. I might like the Hurricanes. And about midway through that game, I looked at him and I said, football is Roll Tide forever from here on out.
10 or 11. I love that you remember. What was your grandfather's reaction when you told him you might be a Canes fan?
Oh, he wasn't happy. He was like, well, I believe you'll grow out of that one day, son. You'll get older and you'll get wiser. And it didn't take but about the halftime of that national championship game.
That was pre-Nick Saban. You don't hear a lot of talk about Alabama before Nick Saban, unless it's Bear Bryant. Nice. I like that you fit right in there.
Well, but Gene Stallings was a great coach as well. And, you know, there was a list of great coaches. There was Nebraska teams that people couldn't get by, and the Miamis and stuff like that. But, yeah, pre-Nick Saban, you know, you got some bandwagon fans that don't know anything but that. But Alabama has a great history. So, and as awkward as it is being from Alabama, I'm also a New York Yankees fan, and I think that's for the history.
That is awkward. But it's whatever. I mean, I'm a Denver Broncos fan since age 13, so people ask me why all the time. I get it. Sometimes, as kids especially, we're completely irrational and illogical. We just fall in love with the emotion, the excitement. We see a winner, and that's it. We're hooked.
Well, and you could throw another wrench in there. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan as well. So.
Oh, who are you talking about bandwagon jumping?
No, ma'am. Derek Thomas was my hero. I wore 58 in high school when I played. So I've been through the bad stuff, and now I'm getting to enjoy the good stuff.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, he was quite the character and an incredible player, of course.
And he also came from Alabama.
Oh, there you go. Well, that was your hook. I like it.
And before I let you go, I want you to know I absolutely love your show. I look forward to when I have to go into work an hour early so I can listen to you.
Well, that's a great compliment. It's not actually all that bad when you have to get up and at them before the crack of dawn. I like it. Thank you, Brad.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great day.
You too. I like that compliment. Man, I'm up at the butt crack of dawn, before the butt crack of dawn. I can't even see my butt crack. It's so dark. Sorry. I know it's a family show. And I still like to go into work because your show makes me happy. Also, for those of you who don't have a chance to catch it live, of course, you can always listen on the podcast. Should we do one more here? Steve is in Louisville. Steve, how did you fall in love with sports and what age were you?
Well, I was, hold on. I was 4 years old, 1952, and I started playing tennis, watching my big brothers play. But as far as the national sports, I live five blocks from Pee Wee Reese, across from Shawnee Park, and he came over one day and signed some autographs in the park. First sports I saw, I saw the Baltimore Colts against the Green Bay Packers, an exhibition game at the fairgrounds in Louisville around 1958. About the Kiwanis Club sponsored it, and my dad was going in, so we went and watched that game. Never knew much about pro football at all. And then about a year or two later, watching Cotton Dash play basketball at the University of Kentucky on the TV. So all that got me watching sports on TV and also radio. And the most fun thing, Pee Wee Reese and Dizzy Dean would do the baseball games on Saturdays. That's usually when we listen.
Yeah.
The funniest thing to do is to listen to Pee Wee Reese and especially Dizzy Dean call those baseball games on the TV and the radio. That was cool stuff.
Pee Wee and Dizzy. It's quite a combo.
Yeah, it's a great combo. Pee Wee was a straight man. So,
gotcha.
One thing real quick. Dizzy Dean told us on the radio, on TV, how he, during a break, how he got a home run on a bunt.
What?
He did.
I thought that only happened in Little League.
He bunted the ball. They threw the first base. He overthrew the first baseman. Dizzy runs the second. He slugged in the second. They overthrew the ball. He runs in the third. Same thing. They overthrew the ball at third base. He slutted to home, got a home run. So there you have it.
That's, I mean, kind of. It's like the Bad News Bears, though.
Well, Dizzy Dean said it. I believe it.
All right. I believe it too, Steve. I like it.
One more thing Dizzy said is the only way they can see his fastball is they watch his vapor trail.
Good stuff, Steve. Thanks so much for your phone call from Louisville. Good to talk to you.
Sure thing. Thank you. Bye.
That's a really neat walk down memory lane. We've had some great history. And I, because I don't know a ton about Pee Wee Reese, I just Googled it. He was a shortstop for the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers. This goes back to the 40s and the 50s. And how about this? He's famous for his support of Jackie Robinson. So the two of them were allies, and he was an ally of Jackie Robinson. As you can imagine, Jackie was one that probably needed that support, welcomed that support, especially early in his breakthrough as the first black player in Major League Baseball. So that's really cool. I've learned a lot. I learned about what was the Holy Roller earlier.
Right.
Yeah, we've got all shapes and sizes and ages listening to our show. How old were you, if you can remember, when you fell in love with watching sports? So not playing sports, but watching sports, whether it's Pee Wee Reese, whether it's Jerome Bettis. I mean, can you have two opposite ends of the spectrum like that? Thanks so much for finding us on our Facebook page or on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Here's our latest sports update. Oh, wait, before I get to Pete, the latest from Kyrie Irving, it might take the cake.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. Whether you're riding with the Joker in Denver or playoff Jimmy in Miami, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Stop mentioning me on Twitter. All y'all fan bases, stop mentioning me right now, please. It is still the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Denver's going to the finals. You know, we're still waiting for Boston and Miami. Can y'all please leave me out of this? Please, can I just be with my family in peace? Y'all got people at my dinner table discussing what my free agency plans are. Stop that. Y'all think it's funny shit, but please stop that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's such a social media ploy. Can you please stop talking about me? Just come on, leave me out of it. Oh, hey, look at me. I put a new video on social media, but please leave me out of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not sure if you all heard this, but the reports out there, and this comes from a bunch of different sources. I think Bleacher Report is one of the first to have it, that Kyrie Irving wants the Dallas Mavericks to look into trading for LeBron so that there can be a big three of LeBron, Luka, and Kyrie. Oh, man. Now, we know Kyrie and LeBron have talked before publicly about reuniting and playing together again. Most people think it would be in L.A. The Lakers may not have the ability to do that. However, Kyrie is an unrestricted free agent. He wants a max deal. He's trying to figure out where he can get the most money and get reunited with his boy. And so now he's floating this idea. Now remember, the Mavericks actually were trying, or at least toying with the idea of offering LeBron James a contract back when the Lakers, not a contract, but a trade to get him off of the Lakers when they were so woeful and awful last season. They were hoping that they could somehow figure out a way to do it. But under NBA rules, it didn't matter, right? So they couldn't get it done. And then the Lakers go and they make a bunch of other moves that suddenly turns them into a playoff team. All right, so yay for the Lakers. It was a good run while it lasted. The Dallas Mavericks didn't even make the playoffs. So, A, why would he consider going to Dallas would be my biggest question. There's no way LeBron would go to Dallas of his own accord. But also, wouldn't Kyrie have to take a big pay cut for him to end up in Dallas? I mean, to go back to Dallas, he wouldn't get a super max deal or a max deal or whatever if they also had to pay LeBron. Is he willing to have the money come right out of his pocket?
It's not about the money, baby.
Uh-huh. It is for you. It's After Hours on Facebook, on Twitter. How old were you and what team sucked you into being a sports fan? Brendan Hayward, probably an NBA player that a lot of people remember. On NBA TV, he says this whole thing is nonsensical.
Kyrie, LeBron, and Luka, three ball-dominant guys. Who's going to be the defender? You need a wing defender in this league. Who's going to guard the tough people down the stretch? Keith Sweat? Nobody? Huh? Come on, man. This team doesn't even fit together on paper. I can't be mad at Kyrie for trying.
Right.
LeBron's still playing at a high level. But what are you going to do, take the ball out of Luka's hands? I just don't understand how this team would work. I don't think that'd be a good idea. Plus, I don't think LeBron ain't going nowhere, man.
LeBron James, by the way, is under contract for next season. Got a player option the year after. That's the same situation with Anthony Davis in L.A. So, I mean, Dallas would have to go out to L.A., make a trade. The Lakers have to be interested in this, too.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where Kai's just shooting at the dark. You know what they say? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
So, I guess Kai's just going to try anything, but I doubt this happens. It just doesn't fit on paper. Those three together, it won't work.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum for Kyrie Irving because, number one, that's Brendan Hayward and company on NBA TV. Number one, Kyrie wants the most money. The Mavericks can offer him the most money, so he wants to stay in Dallas. Number two, he wants the team to be a winner, and he wants to play with LeBron again, but LeBron has, I think it's almost $47 million due him next year, plus there's a player option. Wait, why are you making hand signals?
I think it's 50 he's due next year.
50 yeah. Due next year? Let's look. Okay, 50 the following year, so we were both gotcha. Right. So $47 million due next season, 50.6 is the following year as the player option. And while he is maybe chewing over the idea of retirement, I think it's what a lot of older athletes do after a particularly tough season. He played a lot of games. He had a couple of injuries. So I don't expect him to retire, but I do understand why in the throes of emotion, after you get swept by the Nuggets, you're likely feeling it a little bit. So yeah, Irving would like to stay in Dallas because that's where he can get the most money. And the Mavericks have made him their top priority this offseason. I think that's a really bad idea. They got worse after he joined the team. I don't think that's a good idea. No. Avoid the shiny object. It's like they're hypnotized by Kyrie Irving.
Every time I play with other great players, we've become better.
That is the opposite of what happens. It's the exact opposite of what happens. Is that what happened in Boston? Is that what happened in Brooklyn?
Come on, bro.
Is that what happened in Dallas? Someone stop me if I've got this all wrong. Are you kidding me? It's the exact opposite when you go to a team. Somehow they self-destruct like Mission Impossible. In fact, winning with Kyrie Irving might be Mission Impossible at this point in his career. I know he hit the game-winning shot in the 2016 NBA Finals that brought the Cavaliers that title. He was the only one to hit a shot in the final 2.5 minutes at Golden State. I get it. He's got that to his credit. What's happened since then? Jay's got nothing. I just am telling you, the Dallas Mavericks got worse once he got there. Mm-mm. It's a little bit like the cautionary tale that I was hoping Calvin Ridley would be for other NFL players who thought they might run amok of the NFL's gambling rules and not get caught. How come teams keep bringing him on board?
I have seen firsthand for, 3.5, 4 years, what Kyrie Irving does to a franchise for my Brooklyn Nets. And all I can say is I cannot advocate to any other franchise in basketball to bring him in. I love watching him play too. He's one of my favorite players to watch play basketball.
He's a great offensive player.
He's awesome. He's amazing to watch. But it's just not worth it. It really isn't. Mm-mm. I mean, he's proven it, in four not different cities it. Now?
Could you imagine if the Mavericks give him the max that he's eligible for? Are you ready for this? 5 years, $272 million.
I think it's a disaster by January.
I think that if you do that, you make your own bed, you're going to have to lie in it.
I think you lose Luka Doncic eventually if you do that.
Oh. Every place I've gone, we've gotten better. The superstar's gotten better.
Go back to Cleveland. We good.
He does that same thing about Boston. Or that was about Boston, actually, wasn't it? Oh, man, they love
Boston
him.
Boston hates you.
No, Boston hates you, man, not me. Paul is listening in Dallas. Paul, you're our last caller. A couple of minutes here. How old were you and what team caused you to fall in love with sports?
So originally I'm from Houston, and it was the early 2000s watching the Houston Astros. They were called the Killer Bees. Berkman, Beltran. There was a few players with the last name Bees, so they were called the Killer Bees. And watching the Astros.
Bagwell? Play. You didn't forget Bagwell, did you?
Bagwell, yes, ma'am. Watching them at late in the season constantly running up against the St. Louis Cardinals. My stepdad used to get tickets from his friend, and we would sit six rows above home plate, and that's where I kind of fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
And it's funny you talked about the Texas Rangers because I'm a transplant in Dallas now, and earlier this season I took my oldest son to watch Jacob deGrom pitch, and his eyes lit up. I saw him falling in love with the game.
Good.
And tonight I'm getting ready for work, and he's watching TV, and he runs in the room, Dad, the Rangers beat the Cardinals. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, that is all I need to hear.
Aww.
Especially since they beat the Rangers in the World Series. It just kind of renewed my hate for St. Louis. So when the Astros were in the NL, growing up, falling in love with the game, and then renewing it when my son fell in love with the game earlier this season, it kind of like that's kind of what did it for me was the Houston Astros made me fall in love, and then the Texas Rangers beating up on St. Louis just today kind of made me go, oh yes, that's all I need to know.
I can share this with my son. That's awesome. I love that story. You're passing it on to the next generation. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Good stuff in Dallas. So this has been a lot of fun because we're getting history lessons and we're getting these kind of walk down memory lane moments. Woody on our Facebook page, I was six the first time I saw the Intimidator dive down into turn one at the 1990 Daytona 500. I've been hooked ever since, been to over 100 races since then. He's, of course, referring to the original Dale Earnhardt Sr. James on Facebook, 11 years old, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in 1991. That's fantastic. Yes, these are super cool. A lot of you were 9, 10, 11. Patrick says I was 6 when I went to my first sporting event with my dad, my grandparents, my uncle, my older brother, and my great-grandmother. We went to a baseball game, 1976, the Yankees. I remember it was bat day at Yankee Stadium. After that, I was a Yankee fan for life. That's awesome. Robert says, I was 4 years old when I started to love the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1976. Pam, age 6, walked up the ramp in Municipal Stadium in Cleveland with my dad and two older brothers. My first sight was of the stunning green field. The players were taking BP, and I was hooked. That's awesome. Game 6 of the 75 World Series. That comes from Bill. These are awesome. So good. Dana says, the 70s Big Bad Bruins, Bobby Orr, and Cheesy Cheevers. And then Jess says, not sure, young in elementary school, it was the Baltimore Orioles. Great stuff. Keep them coming. We'll talk to you tonight for the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!